As today we embark on another journey, I want us to make sure that our prayers count. You see, your prayers do not count unless you forgive. Hallelujah. Forgiveness will keep coming back. We'll go into Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter model of prayer. We've got this prayer also in Matthew chapter 6, which is called, which people normally called the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. I love to call it the model of prayer. God, Jesus Christ, gave us the model of prayer. So it's not his prayer, it's ours to pray. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive how many people? Everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" Now, that prayer was not meant to be just recited the way I've done it. Every verse there is pregnant. We could talk about the Lord's Prayer for the whole year, and we could not even exhaust it. So it's just a guideline, it's a model. But what we want to pick there is, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive," how many people? Everyone. Other Bibles will say all who are indebted to us. I want to speak about the subject that I've called forgive everyone. Just forgive everyone. Now go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll go to verse 14. Let's go to verse 12. Let's start from verse 12. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Yeah? Now, I love Luke, because Luke brings in a very key word, everyone. But then when we jump into verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also" what? "Forgive you." That means that my forgiveness is predicated upon my ability to forgive others. If I don't forgive others, then I don't expect to be forgiven. He said, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You see that? My forgiveness is hinged on my ability to forgive other people. If you are not able to forgive, do not expect to receive from God forgiveness. People will hurt you. People will hurt you. As long as you are still breathing, people will hurt you. People will step on you. Hallelujah. And most of us harbor unforgiveness. And the devil knows not, he does not normally use people who are strangers to you. He will usually use people who are closest to you. People like family. I'm talking about family. Family. You'll use spouses. Spouses are eating each other up, you know. And thank God we will have this conference in February, on 17th of February, talking about conflict resolution. Conflict. There will be conflict. One says A, the other says B. And then you start eating each other. Now, the worst thing is that there's nothing good in unforgiveness. There's no gain. You gain nothing. Especially in the family setting. The people closest to you are the ones that get hurt. We end up in divorce, and guess who gets hurt? The children. Unforgiveness is a result of selfishness. Thinking too much of your own feelings at the expense of other people's. You think about you alone. Now, the world is not composed of only you alone. There are other people. Hallelujah. Amen. And people are different. People are difficult, just like you are. You are not an easy person. That person sat in your chair is not easy. Not easy to live with. Heck, you are having a problem living with yourself. How about other people? Amen. Yeah, I did not expect the amens there because I'm touching a nerve here. The person sat in your chair is difficult. You are difficult. But let me tell you, thank God. God is a God of, is God is good and he's full of mercy. He forgives. Our God is a forgiving God. And God wants you and I to be good and full of mercy. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just be good. Do good and be full of mercy. Forgive. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the ceasing to feel resentment for wrongs and offenses. You cease. You have to come to, let me tell you, you need forgive me. Forgive is made up of two words, for and give. You give before. So I forgive you in advance, all of you. All of you. In advance. You must forgive me in advance as well because you know I'm human. You are human. Hallelujah. I could step on your toe in the next, even right now as I'm speaking, some people are being offended. Hallelujah. You must cease. That feeling of resentment has got to go. Primarily, it's forgiveness is an act of God because he releases sinners from judgment and frees us from the penalty of our sin, which is death. Hallelujah. But forgiveness is also human. It's a human act towards your neighbors. Hallelujah. The goal for forgiveness is restoration. Restoration. In the beginning, God had a relationship with man. We know what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was, distorted. The relationship was broken. But he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, that he forgives us from our sins just to build that relationship, to bring us back together. So forgiveness is about building relationships. Hallelujah. Isn't it mind-boggling? You see Sister So-and-so in January, they are laughing their heads off together. Then all of a sudden in February you begin to wonder what's going on. Sister so and so is sat the other side and the other one, and you wonder, these guys were together, they were laughing just a few weeks ago. What went wrong? Somebody say, what went wrong? Somebody said something, somebody did something. Forgiveness is uniquely a Christian doctrine. It is a doctrine. It is the true doctrine. If you are not forgiving, my friend, you do not deserve to be forgiven by God. Hallelujah. The definition of unforgiveness, according to Merriam-Webster dictionary, is defined as the lack of the will to forgive, the inability to forgive or make allowance for error or weakness. Make allowance for what? Error or weakness. Like I said earlier, we are humans. We are not angels. Just because I'm on the other side, on this side of the microphone, does not make me an angel. Hallelujah. So if any pastor or any preacher portrays to you a picture of an angel, he is lying to you. We are all human, and we all make mistakes, and we all have weaknesses. Hallelujah. However, we don't focus on our weaknesses. Yeah? We focus on our strengths. Hallelujah. When you focus on your strength, you will kill your weaknesses. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Greek expression for forgiveness is aphemi. Unfortunately, I didn't make a PowerPoint for you guys. Aphemi. In the New Testament, it means the concept behind aphemi is unmerited forgiveness. Unmerited forgiveness. Listen. None of us deserve to be forgiven by God. Never forget that. Never forget that. He sent his only son to die for us. He did not have to come. The forgiveness I have is unmerited. I didn't work for it. So I stand here today in this office that I do not deserve because of him. Never forget that. Whether you are a minister, whether you are a singer, wherever you are a Christian here, we are not in this auditorium because we deserved it. No. It is unmerited forgiveness. Because his good and his mercy endures, not in January only, not in only February, not only in 2018, but forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So if he is good and his mercies towards me endure forever, shouldn't I, you know, mete out the same to my fellow man? That's what I should do. So if we pray, we have just been in the month of prayer. If you have anybody that you have been holding onto your heart, you need to release them today. Forgive them. Do they deserve it? Maybe they don't. But just forgive them, remembering that you also have been what? Forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Repentance is not complete until you have forgiven. Repentance is not complete until you have forgiven. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You get that? Now, there's another word for forgiveness in the Greek called charizomai. And this one means to extend grace. Extend grace. Extend grace. Developed by Paul in terms of God's graciousness towards pardoning our sins. He extended grace. So must we as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's read some scriptures here. Listen, guys, unforgiveness is very dangerous. Not only does it affect the people that we are holding, but it affects you most, the person that is holding unforgiveness. It goes even to your body. It affects your body. Some people are sick because they have unforgiveness. Some of us have been wronged by our forefathers, you know, our uncles, our aunties, the people that we held in high esteem, and we're still holding them up until now. You get married, you get into this marriage, and you're still carrying that unforgiveness. Now, who's going to suffer? Guess who's going to suffer? You, your husband as well. Your husband, or your wife, for that matter. And your children. That's why some people abuse their children because of unresolved issues. Hallelujah. You are attacking the wrong person. Unforgiveness holds us in prisons. Prisons of anger. Prisons of hatred. Prisons of mistrust. Some people say, I'll never trust a man again. Because a man abused them. Yeah. There are ladies here who are suffering that. I will never trust a man again. Because daddy, uncle, or the husband cheated on them or whatever. You know, it's unforgiveness. Is a cancer. Is a cancer. Somebody said unforgiveness is like an acid. An acid that corrodes the container in which it is. The other person that you're holding, you know, a grudge against may not even have a clue about it. But you are dying on the inside. It is corroding you on the inside. The other guy is going about his business. He is even prospering because he has no clue. The Bible says if somebody has wronged you, what do? Go to him. Don't go to him, you know, trying to pull him down. Go to him with love. You say, you know what, Pastor, what you said there, it sort of touched a nerve. I was not happy about what you said, you know. Instead of dying with it in there. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody once said that unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. Yeah. Take poison and then you expect him to die. That is... Listen. Listen to what God has given us as we finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what God gave us. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start from verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Is a what? A new creation. All the things have done what? Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. How many? All. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God reconciled us to himself Through who? Jesus Christ. And has given us a what? A ministry of reconciliation. That is ministry number one, my friend. You are a minister of reconciliation. Hallelujah. So wherever you are, whether the issue is between you and somebody or between other people, you are, you know, most of us are the people who fan. You know, we fan the flames of discord. In church. Some things some people don't even have to know that they were said about them. They don't have to know. But you know what we do? We go to them and we even add some salt, we add some sugar. It's time, you know, there are people who wake up in the morning to destabilize people. That is not you. That is the enemy. That's the enemy. That's why you need to separate people from the enemy. You allow yourself to be an agent of the enemy. Listen, you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. That is that God has, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. You do not have to impute their trespasses on people. You don't have to. Hallelujah. I want to finish with one verse here in Mark 11, chapter 25, 26. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Jesus, as he was teaching again, like I said, about prayer, he says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, you have it, guys, Mark 11, 25, 26. You have it on your phones, whatever? Yeah. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, those words are not just there to decorate the Bible. If you have anything, what does anything mean? Anything. Pastor, you have no idea what she said to me. Does that constitute anything? Yes. Absolutely. To some people, no. Against anyone. The Amplified says, forgive them. And in brackets it says, drop the issue. Let it go. I will stop there. I can't go further than this. Let it what? Some things, not some things, some you have also, you've got to let them go. And move on, my friend. Let it go. You don't know, you don't know what he has done. I do not even want to know. I don't have to know. All I want to tell you is that drop it. Let it stand to your feet. Lift those hands to the Father. If you are here and you have anything against anyone, drop it now. Drop it now. Ask the Lord. I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray for yourself. Just drop it now. I know it. I can smell it here. That there are some people holding grudges over some people. Come on, come on. You've got to drop it now. As the worshipers come from. Ah, yeah, yeah.